Blog Talk Radio.
All the way.
Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is November the 15th, year of our Lord 2022, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. You know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. You're cordially invited to come and have service with us, come and worship the Lord with us. We do have service every Sunday. Our services begin at 10 a.m. We ask that you will come and be a part of the service of the First Baptist. We are practicing all social distancing. We do take temperatures at the door. We do ask that you wear your face covering. However, you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the service of the First Baptist. As I said earlier, our services start at 10 a.m. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of that service. We also want to invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There on Facebook, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find some of the events that we're having. You'll find various articles on Christian life. You'll also find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. There's also a call-in number on the Facebook page. That number, if you're listening, would like to call in, that's area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can be a part of the Bible study tonight. The number is there as well on the Facebook page. Also, the link is there. You can click on the link and you can hear the Bible study over your telephone or over your computer. And you can also go back at any time and hear any of the Bible studies that we have done by simply going to the Facebook page, finding the Bible study that you would like to hear. Click on that blue link. It will take you directly to Blog Talk Radio to that particular Bible study. Also, on the Facebook page, you're able to watch our Sunday morning service. We go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live, and you can see the services of First Baptist if you go to their Facebook page. So we invite you to go there. You'll find more information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So there's a lot of information there on the Facebook page. If you would like to give to the House of God, you can certainly do so. We do have a Cash App. We also have other ways in which you can give. You can come by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30 and drop off your offerings or your tithes, or you can mail the tithes and offerings into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. Of course, you can come to church and bring your tithes and offering with you. And, of course, we do have a Cash App. It starts at the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. So we thank God for all of you who are continuing to support the church. We thank God for you, and we pray God's blessing upon you. Let us be prayerful for those who are going through right now. People who are going through, people who are sick, people who are in the restroom, people who are in the hospital, people who are locked behind prison bars. We have to be sensitive to the plight of others so that we will have the compassion that Christ has asked us to have toward one another. Let us pray for those and hope that they will be all right and that the Lord will have his way in their life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for another night of Bible study, First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank you, God, for everyone that is on the line, those who are here this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go into your word tonight, that you will give us clarity of mind and soul, that we will find solace for these lean times that we find ourselves living in. Thank you, God, for your mercy and for your grace. We ask, God, that you will walk the hospital halls. Stop if you don't stay long. Touch the side of the bed of those who are going through right now. Let them know, God, that everything is going to be all right. Pray now, God, that your spirit will be with those who are going through at this time. We thank you right now for what you've already done and what you're about to do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is called The Mission of the 12 Spies. Now, you have read this in the Bible many times, the old story in the Bible. We're going to look at it from a different light tonight, see if we can gain clarity as to what is actually going on. The Mission of the 12 Spies. We're working out of the book of Numbers, chapter 13, in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. In the book of Numbers, we're going from verses 1 to 3, verse 17 to verse 20, and then we're going to skip down to verse 25 through verse 33. So all of this can be found in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. We'll start in verses 1 through 3, then we'll skip down to 17 through 20, and then we'll go to 25 through 33. Numbers 13. During the second year after leaving Egyptian slavery, the Israelites were on the borders of the Promised Land, and they had to make some very important choices. These choices would affect the outcome of a very long journey in the wilderness. God had been with them thus far and was now preparing them for the final phase. Our lesson this night, later, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. You'll find that in Exodus 19 and 1. They camped near Mount Sinai, where the Lord gave them the Ten Commandments and the other laws found in the book of Exodus and in the book of Leviticus. At Mount Sinai, God also established the Mosaic Covenant with Israel, making them his chosen people. You'll find that in Exodus 19, 1 through 8. Then, when we compare Exodus 19 and 1 with Numbers 10 and 11, we see that the people were at Mount Sinai for almost 2 years. As the people continued their journey from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, their grumbling and mumbling continued and got so bad that the Lord set fire to burn up those who were complaining. And Moses had to intervene for them with the Lord to put out the fire. You'll find that in Numbers 11 and 4. But just as soon as the episode was over, the people began to complain about being tired of eating bread without new meat. But again, God demonstrated both mercy and his grace when he provided quail for them to eat, just as he had done when they were in the wilderness of sin. But also, as the complaining from the people wasn't enough, Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam murmured against Moses out of jealousy. You'll find that in Numbers 12, 1 and 2. God responded to them by calling Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to come before him. Then he told Aaron and Miriam that Moses was not like any other prophet who God revealed himself to in the visions and dreams. Unlike those other prophets, God said Moses was faithful in all of Israel, struck Miriam with leprosy. And Aaron appealed to Moses to ask God to heal her. You'll find that in Numbers 12, 9 through 12. Moses did as Aaron requested, and God said he would do it, but not until Miriam remained outside the camp for 7 days. You'll find that in Numbers 12, 13 through 15. After those 7 days, the people continued their journey and made camp in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh Barnea, on the southern border of Canaan, where Moses encouraged the Israelites to enter the land without fear and in God's strength. The events in this lesson mark a great turning point with Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. In that first verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," stop right there. They're on the verge of entering Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 3, Moses reminds the people of the events they experienced during that time in the wilderness. It appears that it was the people who first asked Moses for permission to send men to search out the land and to give advice on how best to enter it. And Moses agreed. So this was the verse it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. It is here said that God directly spoke to Moses to send men to search out the land. For later in Deuteronomy 1 and 22, that the idea came originally from the people. They came to Moses and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we should go up and unto what cities we shall come. But this was the result of their unbelief. You see, they would not take God's word that it was a good land and that he would without fail give them possession of that land. They didn't trust the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that showed them the way to the promised land. So they thought better of their own wisdom than of God's wisdom. You see, how absurd it is when we want to take our own wisdom over God's wisdom himself and already checked out for them. It was due to pure unbelief. They wanted to know the way of the land when God himself would show them the way. Like Israel, we can ruin ourselves by giving more credit to reports that seem to make sense than to leave it to divine revelation. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And as I said before, we can do a lot of harm to ourselves if we just walk by what other folk report to us instead of what God says to us for us to do and send spies before them. God let the people walk in their own counsel. But although he allowed them to have their way, God was in no way an accessory to the sin that followed. Sending these spies was not a sin, but how the people reacted when the spies returned was. Their sin was rebellion and unbelief. So when we go down to the second verse, it says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Of course, here the Lord is aware of the people's disconcerting. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel. God commanded Moses to send men to search or to explore the land of Canaan or the promised land. This was the land that God said I would give to the children of Israel. It's clear from this statement that from God's perspective, the land already belonged to Israel. God's will was clear. Canaan was Israel's property, and they would enter the land. Regardless of what the men discovered when they checked out the land, it wouldn't take away from what God promised to give the land of Canaan to Israel. Found in light of the fact, God said unto Moses, of every tribe, of every father shall you send men, every one a ruler among them, a man from every tribe of Israel, which was the 12 tribes, were to be chosen for this mission. In addition, each man chosen had to be a ruler among them, or a ruler of the tribe. The 12 men chosen were not tribal priests, however. They were selected from rulers of those who held high esteem in their respective tribes. Those who were chosen to search that land, they were listed in the book of Numbers in the 13th chapter. The 12 men selected were more ranked than the princes or the head relied on to go and search out the land and come back and give a full report. It should be noted here that Joshua and Caleb were two of the men selected. But Moses is the one who gave Joshua his name. His original name was O-S-H-E-A, O-S-H-E-A. O-S-H-E-A, that was Joshua's original name. However, Moses renamed him to Joshua. And Moses sent Joshua and Caleb along with those men who were to spy out the land. So when we get to verse 3, it says, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel, command of the Lord. And he sent them from the wilderness of Paran to search the land of Canaan, just as God had commanded. The men who Moses sent out to explore the land were heads of the children of Israel, meaning that they were heads of a 12 tribe. They were men who were reliable, men who could be counted on, men who were held in high esteem. Verses 4 through 16 are not part of our printed text, but those verses list the names of the 12 men chosen for this mission. These men are not called spies in the scripture, but they have come to be known as such because Moses sent them to, quote, spy out the land, way southward, and go up into the mountain. Once the 12 men were chosen, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. He told them to go up this way, or southward, which would take them near the south country. From there, they were to group into or go up into the mountains, or the hill country. Since the Israelites were stationed in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Paran, it appears that Moses was sending them into the land of Canaan the nearest way. Verse 18. This verse goes on to say that, and see the land, and what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Moses also told them that as they explored the land, they were to see the land. Look at the land. What is the land like? What is the weather like? The people that dwell in that land or live there, are they strong or are they weak? Are they many or are they few? Moses needed to know as much as possible about the land as he prepared to lead the Israelites into it. He knew that they were not just going to be able to walk into Canaan and inhabitants would freely surrender the land. He also understood that the Israelites would have to take the land. God told him he would have to take the land from plan to take the land. An accurate description of the land was necessary. Verse 19. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether it's tents or in strongholds. Moses continues to tell these men or give these men instructions, these 12 spies, to look for as they explored the land. This included determining whether it was a good land or whether it was bad land. They were also to take note of what kind of cities were in that land. Did they live in buildings? The word tents here most refers to open camps, and strongholds refers to cities, that they were strong defended, or whether they were fortified with walls that protect them. So God's instruction to Moses is to tell these men to look and spy out the land, to not just look at the land, but take reports, to keep mental records, to find out whether the land is good. Is the soil good for tilling? Is it good for producing food? Is it a land where a lot of cities, or is it a land just a land of straight land with nothing in it? He had to know this. And then it continues in verse 20. And he says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. Time was the time of the first growing of the grapes. Here Moses went on to tell these spies what they were to look for in the land. They were to determine if the land was fat, meaning whether the soil was good or growing, whether it was ample water in the land for grazing, for cows, and for the animals, or whether the land was lean, whether it was just hard topsoil, whether the land was poor or unproductive. In addition, they were to determine whether there would be wood. Are there trees on this land? Can we cut down these trees? What kind of trees are on the land? In other words, there were a lot of trees to be used for timber. They wanted to know what type of trees were in that land. Moses was well aware that this mission, you find that in Numbers 13 and 23. The last part of the verse says, now the time of the first grapes was down. This means that the mission was taking place during the season of harvest. It was a good time to go into that land. All the crops would be fully grown around this time. They would be able to see the type of crops that are grown in that land. And perhaps they could bring back some of the sampling or some of the crops that they found along the way. They could see whether the weather was like in that land at that time and how the people harvested their crops. He wanted a detailed description of that land. Verses 21 through 20 and 20 miles one way. If this is the case, the spies would cover almost 500 miles both ways. They also cut down a cluster of grapes that was so large that it had to be carried on a pole by two men. The spies also gathered some pomegranates and some figs to take back to the people. Let's go down to verse 25. This verse says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 returned to their fellow Israelites at Kadesh. It took them 40 days to search out this land. As noted in the comments in verse 20, these spies probably covered a total of almost 500 miles. To do that in 40 days meant they were committed and they were focused on their mission and took no time to dilly around. Verse 26 says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, to show them the fruit of the land. Upon their return from this 40-day mission, the 12 spies went and came before Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were in the wilderness. These spies reported back to Moses and to Aaron. And the entire Israelite camp awaited to hear their report, which was in the wilderness of Paran. After giving everyone their report, the spies showed them the fruit of the land. This refers to the pomegranates and the fig. But here comes the discouraging report. In chapter 13, verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. The returning spies continued to report to all the people, including Moses and Aaron, telling them, we came unto the land with thou sentest. They were confirming that they went unto Canaan, the land where Moses sent, barren desert of the wilderness of Paran where they were. Canaan had an abundance of food, an abundance of water, livestock, vegetation. The spies verified the report by showing the people the fruit that they brought back. They presented a sample of the fruit that grew in that land. But this appears to be the only thing that all 12 men agreed on, as we shall see in the remaining verses. In verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The report so far has been favorable and positive, and there seems to be total agreement that there was more, despite the tremendous potential in this land. The spies also said, nevertheless, meaning, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. The word strong here means mighty or fierce. In this verse, it describes the people who were militarily powerful. Also report that the cities are walled cities, meaning that these cities in Canaan were well fortified and seemed impossible to enter. In addition, they said these cities were very great, or a large size city. They also said, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. In other words, in addition to everything else, they reported seeing that they saw the descendants of Anak in the promised land. These children of the descendants of Anak were dreaded warriors. They were very tall men, some would call them giants, who lived primarily in the area around Hebron. You'll find that in Numbers 12, 22. They were a very formidable race of men who lived to fight, who lived to kill and slaughter. These children of Anak were so gigantic that the spies considered themselves mere grasshoppers compared to them. At this point, the text seems to indicate that all 12 spies agreed on the entire report that they gave. But as we shall see in verse 30, one of the spies, Caleb, disagreed with the others about the Israelites' ability to possess that land. The spies who gave the discouraging report were faithless and unbelieving about God's ability to handle any situation. They dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amalekites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These men were horrified of the fact that there were so many tribes of people who lived in Canaan. But you see, God had already told them that they were going to have to fight for the land. Now, you've got to remember, even though it seems like there's a lot going on here, even though the sons of Anak, the Hittites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, all these people are there, you got to remember now, God now, at this point, Israel has almost a million-man army, and they got God on their side. So you got to think about this thing. Even though it may seem like they got a lot to deal with, they were capable of doing it. I mean, no problem whatsoever. When you got a million-man army and God on your side, it doesn't matter how many tribes or how many groups of people live in that land. These spies continued their report by discouraging and describing all the different people who inhabited the land of Canaan and their location. They said that the Amalekites dwelled in the south, so we can't go there. The Hittites, the Jebusites dwell in the mountains, so we can't go there. The spies noted that the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan, meaning that the Canaanites inhabited the western part of the land near the Mediterranean Sea, as well as the land by the coasts of Jordan, which was in the eastern part of Canaan. The description of the inhabitants of that land indicated that it was occupied from north to south to east to west, so there was nothing that could be done. Caleb's encouraging report. Then verse 30, you see it? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now we learn not all 12 spies agreed with the negative report that was presented. The Bible says, still the people. In other words, calm down, calm down. In other words, Caleb quieted the people from their becoming restless and unruly before Moses. Then he said to them, let us go up at once, right now, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Undoubtedly, he was confident that with God's help, the Israelites were well able to overcome any adversity, referring to the land of Canaan and whatever obstacle they would face. The word he used, a well able, revealed just how convinced Caleb was that they would be successful. So he urged the people, saying, let us go up and conquer it, because he believed that God had already conquered the land, and he had. He undoubtedly remembered the promise that God made to Abraham. You remember the promise. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. You'll find that in the book of Genesis, chapter 17 and 8. God made that promise to Abraham many years ago. Therefore, he could confidently say without wavering, talking about Caleb, all the Israelites had to do was to take possession of what God had already given them. As a matter of fact, Later, Moses died, and God told Joshua that whatever the Israelites walked in the Canaan, he would give it to them, and no one would be able to stand against them. We learn later in Numbers 14, 6 through 7, that Joshua also stood with Caleb, supporting the good report, leaving 10 spies who gave an evil report, but only two who came back with confidence, knowing that God could make a way out of no way. This is what happens when we do not have faith. We don't know the way. Darkness is upon us, but God comes to shine the marvelous light that we may see the way. We must have faith in him. We must encourage ourselves, and we must encourage others as well to be obedient to the word of God. In verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Just as soon as Caleb, Joshua voiced their confidence that the Israelites were well able to overcome and possess the land, there's always somebody that's going to stand up and say, well, we can't do that. The spy out the land contradicted Caleb's words. We're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. Caleb, by faith, said that Israel was well able. But the other faithless 10 spies said, we be not able. In their own strength, they were right. They were right. If you don't believe you can do it, you're not going to do it. Not able to go up against the people of Canaan. However, the reason they gave demonstrated their unbelief in God's word. My sight will never experience the power of God that comes only through those who walk by faith. Let me say that again. Those who walk only by sight will never experience the power of God that comes through walking by faith. How can these people be stronger than the people of God? Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature on the line of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel. They're adding yeast to the story now. It wasn't that bad. Now they're starting to add other things to the story. The other words, they made their own report. They made up a report, even worse, by aggravating or exaggerating what they saw in that land, the land which God had already given them. The 10 spies described Canaan as a land that filled with milk and honey, but undoubtedly, to put fear in the people, they described the promised land as a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They were saying that the land devours those who live there. Then they said all the people that we saw in the land were men of great stature. They were exaggerating. Now, you got to remember, you know, Israel had some pretty big guys, too. So it wasn't like they were grasshoppers in that sight. You know, these men of valor, these men of war, they weren't no little guys either. So now they're adding yeast to the story, trying to scare people, keeping them from going into the promised land. Now, this final verse says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Referring back to the sons of Anak, these sons of Anak were some pretty rough guys, but they had everybody shook. The people were afraid to go against them. Who had learned about the sons of Anak? They had heard stories about how, when they were going to battle, how fierce they were. So it was not hard to convince the people of Israel, the Israelites, that this land was just impossible. The spies further discouraged the people with the exaggerated, cowardly report, but they also said we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so, like we were nothing in their sight, which is not true. This description by the 10 spies indicates that the inhabitants of the promised land were so large and so unbeatable that no no one could conquer them. As a result of their evil report, the people rebelled against also was rebellion against God. They even wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. We know that sin has its consequence. And those who rebelled, as well as the 10 spies, lied and plagued, God sent as his judgment among the people. In addition, God said that because of their rebellion, his people would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And no one from 20 years old up, except for Caleb and Joshua, would live to enter the promised land. They would all die in the wilderness. This story of the 12 spies should remind us of how important it is to trust God and his power that he gives us to overcome the obstacles that we face. When we fail to recognize that God can perform a miracle if he wants to, it will lead to negative consequences if we don't realize that we serve a miracle-working God. But trusting in him will ultimately bring good and positive results, always. That is our lesson for tonight. We must learn how to trust in him. If we're going to bring good and positive results in our life, we have to learn to trust in him. There will be many obstacles that we will have to face in this life, and we will not be able to do it alone. And we're going to need the help of Almighty God to do it. But God has already given us a purpose. He's already given us a way out. In lives, there may be someone tonight who would like to speak more on the lesson, who would have some information maybe they would like to share, or they simply just say you're listening, and I will go to the next number. Okay, we're going to start with area code 919. Last four digits, 2534. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor Rogers. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm just listening tonight. Deacon Taylor had to go to work, so I'm just listening in.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Let's go to area code 919-2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. It's Ms. Mangum.
Good evening, Ms. Mangum.
Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson, Rogers. And one thing that I take away from this lesson is that this is a lesson for us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And, you know, mm-hmm. we have a lot of unfaithful and unbelieving people that just say contradict good ideas or projects. So we have to mm-hmm. step out on faith and believe that God is in the plan.
That's right.
And he will, you know, exactly. work it out, but you're going to take a step.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't take a step, mm-hmm. nothing will happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Area code 609. Last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm just listening. But if I can say anything, I've over my lifespan up to this point, I know that I've talked myself out of a lot of things because I didn't walk by faith. I was only walking by sight. So as I grow spiritually, I'm learning to walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Good evening.
I enjoyed the lesson tonight. And I just want to speak on verse 30 where Caleb was filled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able. He believed that he believed what God had told him, even though he had went into the city and saw the giants and different things. So that's just one section that there was. It's something that you generally say is generally two or three people. God generally has two or three people that you know. going to stay faithful to him in the time, times of trouble, and listen to his word and believe it. And that's what Caleb did. He wasn't like the, it was 12 altogether. It was Caleb and one other that, they didn't go along with the majority vote.
Yeah, Joshua.
They felt that, Caleb felt like they could go in. They were well able to go in. And he was saying that he didn't say that they could, it was another word you used there, but the Bible says they were well able to overcome it. But you used another word when you was talking about that verse.
Okay. We're talking about, we said we were able to go up, we're able?
Well able to go up, well able to overcome it. But you used word in there. Mm.
Right.
But Caleb was one of the faithful few, you know, that believed what God said, and he wanted to go ahead on up and do what God had commanded.
Do you think that the other 10 spies were afraid, just lazy?
I don't know. They might have been afraid of the giants when they saw them. They might have been afraid.
Now, as I said before, this is nothing that Israel had not come up against. They were able to deal with giants. The giant would have posed a great threat. But there were only one tribe of them. And you got to remember, there are 12 tribes in Israel. So Israel outnumbered them. So this is why Caleb was so emphatic about the fact that they could take that land. There was no problem. They could go in and they could inhabit that land just as God had spoken. God spoke to them and told them a long time ago that they would have to fight for that land. And they knew that there were people who lived in that land. And they knew it was not going to be easy. So I don't know whether these men were just lazy or just was afraid. I don't know if they were afraid so much. I just think that they just didn't want to deal with it. You know? Miss Magnum, I'm going to come back to you. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of times in the church, we come up with ideas. And before the idea hits the floor, somebody says, well, that's not going to work. What do you think of that? Mm-hmm. What is that?
I think it's just like I said, disbelief, of demonstrating your disbelief that it can't be done. Or maybe because you didn't bring it to the floor, I'm not going to go along with it. But if I have brought it to the floor, it would have been a good idea. That's how some people are, too. You know, if you bring up something, I'm saying you, anybody, bring up something, and then the same occurs, somebody else could bring up the same idea later. And the ones that was against it, just because it was different people, they would go along with it.
You know, that's amazing because a lot of work does not happen in the house of God because somebody gives an evil report or a bad report even before they even try it. And I think that a lot of times we're so easy to accept a bad report before we accept good. And that happens a lot, not only in the church, but in home, in business. When someone is being led by the Spirit of God to move forward, which God has already made a plan for you to do so, and folks say it can't happen, That's a hindrance. That's a hindrance, more so than anything else. You see what happened to the children of Israel because of that. They had wandered for 40 years. They could have gone directly into the promised land. They didn't have to wander for 40 years. And that's the plight of our people, in a sense, because we have left God and have left the belief in God. We believe that we cannot achieve, that we can do better, that we can't be a better people. Our communities can't get well. We believe that. And because we believe an evil report, we live in an evil world.
Uh-huh.
I want to go to Deaconess Taylor. I know you say you just listened. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Let me ask you a question. Is it right, you think, that God said that because you all did not believe and have the faith that you'll have to wonder before you? You think that was the right thing for God to do? I'm not asking you to judge God. I'm just asking, do you think that was fair?
That he said what?
That because you would not go into the promised land, you got to wonder for 40 years.
Do you think that was the plan?
No. I'm asking you, do you think it was fair?
Oh, do you think that was, because you're fading in and out. That's why I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Let me just talk slower. God said, because you didn't have the faith to go into the land when you should have, now you're going to have to wander for 40 years. You think that was fair?
Maybe have to wander for 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Do I think it was fair?
Yes.
I was thinking it was fair in his eyesight.
Okay, that's all I want to know. I'm not asking you to judge God.
Right.
You think that was fair?
I'm going to say it was fair.
Ms. Megan, what do you think?
I would say it was fair, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dick the Training, what do you think?
His judgment.
Well, I think it, if I was there, I probably wouldn't have thought it was fair, but it's God's decision, so
right.
He can do what he want to whenever, and that was his consequence for the people.
Okay. It's a wonder nobody said, okay, we'll go right now then. We don't want to wonder for 40 years. Seems like somebody would have come up with that, you know. Okay. Does anybody else have anything like that? All right, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this lesson. We pray now, God, that we be people that will be able to hear your word, be receptive to your word, and be obedient to your word, Father. When you tell us to move, when you tell us to go, we should go. When you tell us to stand still, we should stand still. We ask now, God, that you will give us the courage and the insight to know what to do according to your will and according to your way. Father, we know that you've already made a way out of no way, and we thank you right now for your blessing upon these people. Bless Holly Springs and bless the surrounding areas, God. We ask that you bless First Baptist and churches everywhere, that we will continue to do the work that you have called us to do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you.
Amen.
Have a good night. We'll see you Sunday.
Amen. Have a wonderful week.